Amen. While you're standing, turn to the Old Testament, to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 13, and we'll begin reading there in 2 Kings, chapter number 13, beginning with verse number 14. While you're turning there, I want to say, my wife and I have so enjoyed getting to know your pastor and his good wife better over the last few days, and it's been our joy to be here and minister to you. I can tell you're a good church. You're a strong church. I feel strength in this house. And there's no telling what God has for you in the days ahead. I believe it's good. I believe it's positive. I believe it's growth. I believe it's revival. Amen. You've had a great elder, Brother Wirths, and now you got a great pastor, and I'm telling you, God is doing good things, and it's you just feel something moving in the Spirit. Thank you, Brother Cowan, for the invitation, and we really, really appreciate it. It's been our joy to get to know you folks, and I want to say thank you, Pastor Cowan, and to Sister Cowan for all the tremendous hospitality, the wonderful accommodations, the delicious meals, the fellowship, all of the good things you've afforded us, and we appreciate it very, very much. I'm going to tell you, you can be thankful. You've got a pastor that knows how to take care of his guests, and you're blessed because of that, and this is a wonderful man that's your pastor, and you already know that, and his wife. And so we're thrilled to be here, and we thank you for everything. And I appreciate this church coming together to have these services. And I believe God's going to talk to us one more time. Amen. How many of you want the Lord to help you tonight? I believe the Lord wants to help us. Amen. And so we're going to believe God for good things. Amen. 2 Kings 13, and we'll begin reading with verse number 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash the king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice. And he smote thrice and stayed or stopped. Verse 19, And the man of God was wroth with him. And said, Thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. I'll announce my title as I begin to preach, but would you put your Bibles down? Close your eyes, lift your hands and your face to the Lord. Give him praise with me. Would you do that and ask him to bless the remainder of the service? God, in the name of Jesus, anoint the remainder of our service. Anoint me to preach and be a blessing to this people. Bless everybody here to receive of the word of God. Have your way for good. Bless this church in the days ahead and in this service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord? Oh, let's give him some high praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Through the years, my wife and I have ordered a number of things through a .com company on the internet called Overstock.com.
Yeah.
If you've ever been to that site, or at least years ago when I visited it, there was a big O for the capital letter for Overstock, and all the rest of the letters were small. And one day when I visited this site a number of years ago, they had added a slogan, and it was right underneath the Overstock.com title of the page, and it said something like this: "It's all about the O," referring to the Overstock.com. It's all about the O. And I want to use that for my title for what I'm going to preach to you tonight. I want to preach to you that it's all about the O. Now, if you were to go to the King James Version of the Bible, which I use, the term O-H for O is found 38 times. The term O, which is a shortened form for O-H, is found 1,065 times. So altogether, the term O is found 1,103 times in the Bible. And most of the time, the capital O is used as the shortened form of the term O-H. And when you find this term in the Bible, it refers to an emphasizing of what's being said, or an imploring, a beseeching, a praying, or so forth. In essence, it is used most of the time to express the emotion of strong desire expressing passion. In fact, many times the capital O was added by the translators who were translating the Hebrew Bible into the English. Now, that doesn't mean they were adding things to the scripture.
Right.
But there are certain words in Hebrew that have passion packed into them. Some of the English words that were similar didn't quite bring that into the, bring over from the Hebrew into the English properly what it should. And the only way they could get the proper meaning conveyed to the English writer was to add the O so they would understand this is deep, this is passionate, this is with a strong emotion. And so, having said that, when I preach to you tonight that it's all about the O, what I'm really saying is this: when it comes to the things of the Spirit, when it comes to the things of God, it's not just what you do, it's how you do it. And if you bring the strong passion and strong desire into what you're doing, because that will determine oftentimes how blessed you're going to be.
All right.
So I want to preach it's all about the O. George Hegel, a German philosopher, said, "Nothing great in the world has been accomplished without passion." Albert Einstein said, "I have no special talents. I am only passionately curious." John Wesley, who was the founder of Methodism and bringing the Anglican Church into a revival, said, when you set yourself on fire, people love to come and see you burn. And so in all of life, if you're going to be successful, no matter what it is, you've got to have a degree of passion about what you're doing. And it's no different in the kingdom of God. It's all about the O. In the passage that I read in your hearing tonight, the Bible tells us that Elisha was on his deathbed. And he had fallen sick of the sickness whereof he would die. The king of Israel, by the name of Joash, came down to mourn over him. When he saw him, he said, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, expressing the fact that even though he was king, he knew who the true leader of Israel was. It was this prophet. All right. And so the prophet of God knew that the king needed a word. And so he said, take bow and arrows. And he retrieved his bow and his arrows. And the prophet put his hands on the king's hands. And then he told him to open the window toward the east, and he did. And he told him to shoot an arrow out of the bow, out the window, and he did. As the arrow went sailing out the window, the prophet cried, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. All right, yeah. The arrow of the Lord's deliverance from Syria. You're going to consume them in Aphek. Yeah. And so he proclaimed victory for Israel. Then he turned to the king, and the prophet said, take the arrows. And so he grabbed the arrows out of their quiver, and the man of God said, smite upon the ground. And the Bible says he smote three times. And I'm saying that for a reason. The prophet did not tell him how many times to do it. In fact, if you want to get technical, once would have been fulfilling his word. But he did it three times. But after the third time, the Bible says that when he got done, the man of God was wroth. That means he was terribly angry. His face probably was red. The artery on the side of his neck was kind of bulging. Maybe his eyes had become like cat's eyes. I mean, he was mad. And this is what he said. You should have smitten the ground five or six times. Then you would have smitten Syria till you had consumed it. But now you'll only win three battles is the essence. Which, when you study the Bible, that's what happened. And Syria became a thorn in Israel's side. But the man of God was wroth because he knew if this king would have just acted a little different, he wouldn't have just had three victories. He would have had total victory and annihilation over the Syrians. And the reason I say that to you tonight is this. We all want victory. Anytime we obey God, we're going to get blessed.
All right, yeah.
So I'm not here to down anything anybody here ever does for God. You will be blessed for your obedience. You will be blessed for everything you do. But my question to you is, do you just want a blessing here? Do you just want a blessing there? Or do you want to have the complete victory and power and anointing that God has for your life? As for me and my house, we want complete victory. We want everything God has. And so the reason that the prophet was mad is because he had spiritual discernment and he understood something about God. And the man, the king, didn't understand it. And because he didn't understand it, it cost him and it cost the kingdom of God. What Elisha understood was this. God looks at our attitudes that are displayed by our actions and blesses us accordingly. In other words, we can do the right thing, but if we don't do it in the right way, it hinders us from going to the realm of blessing that God has for us. The problem with this king was he did what the man of God said. He even did a little more than the man of God said, but he did not do it with all of his heart. He didn't put passion in it. He didn't put strong emotion in it. He didn't put strong desire in it. He just went through the motions. And I'm preaching to you, it's all about the O. Somewhere in your life, you got to come to the realization, I'm going to obey God, but I'm going to do more than obey God. I'm going to obey him with everything I've got. I'm going to put my heart into everything I do for God. It's all about the O. It's all about the O. I'm not just going to come to church. When I come to church, I'm going to have church. I'm not just going to worship a little bit. Man, I'm going to put my heart in my worship. My whole heart's going to be in what I do. I was telling you about Brother Strievel the other night. I liked what he said. When I clap for somebody human, I'll clap okay. But man, when it's for Jesus, I put some sting in it. I want my hands to sting because God is worthy. So it's all about the O. Did you know in Psalm 107:8, 107:16, 107:21, and 107:31, four times in one chapter, the psalmist says these words, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And there's an exclamation point there. You know what the deal is? The psalmist had a revelation. And that revelation is, if I can get people to praise God, good things are going to happen. I don't want to just, praise God a little bit. No! Oh, that men would praise him. He put some passion in it. He put some desire in it. He put some strong emotion in it. It's all about the oh. God doesn't want us just patty caking a little bit. He wants us to put our heart into it. If we're going to shout, let's shout. If we're going to run, let's run. If we're going to worship, let's worship. But let's put our whole heart into it. The psalmist also wrote in Psalm 67, 5 through 8, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth, listen, then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. You want to be blessed? You want increase to come? You want God to begin to pour out blessings in your life? The key is you got to praise him. You got to have a knowledge that I've got to praise him if I'm going to release that. Psalm 135. He called, O house of Levi. He said, O house of Aaron. He began to call the houses of the people of, hey, when we have church, just consider your house is being called to praise. The house of Johnson, the house of Jones, the house of Cowan, the house of Anderson, whatever it is, we are being called to worship and to praise him. The psalmist also said in 103, verses 1 through 2,
The psalmist declared, bless the Lord. Notice this. Oh, my soul. And all, listen, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. And forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. My point is this. The psalmist got passionate toward himself. He talked to himself. And I'm only saying that because there's times you're going to come to church, you're going to have to talk yourself into praise. You've had a bad day. You've had a rough time. Things haven't happened good for you that day. You got to stop and say, look, God's been good to you, son. God's been good to you, sister. So guess what? You're going to bless him. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. He got passionate about it. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Listen, and all that is within me. We ought to praise him with everything. Sometimes you got to talk yourself into it. That don't mean you're a bad person because you don't feel like praising him. Sometimes you've had a bad day or you've been kind of going through it. But talk yourself into it. And give him the best you have. Give him everything you have. Because it's all about the owl. It's not just about praise. It's about praising him with passion and with energy. With all that is within you. There's a difference. There's a change. It's all about the owl. Please pardon my references to a few things right here. But talking about this, Michael Jackson, and I'm not promoting him. He's dead and gone. But in his day, he was one of the greatest entertainers that the world ever had. I read in the USA Today, back in the day, that when he would go to a concert, listen to this, when he would go to a concert, he would lose 10 pounds because he was jerking and jiving and moving and sweating. You may say, well, that was water weight. Yeah, it probably was. But that's still a lot of water. When's the last time you lost 10 pounds going to Sunday night church? I'm not saying you have to do the moon dance. You understand? But I am saying, if they'll worship their God that way, how about the Church of the Living God saying, I'm going to give my best to God too. I'm going to give my best to God. Why don't we put our hands together and clap a praise unto the Lord? Hallelujah! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Once again, I'm not here to chastise anybody, and I'm not here to promote worldly things. But I know it's getting close to the end of football season, but I read years ago, when the championship was being played in the NFL and Terry Bradshaw was a star from Louisiana, I read where he had double pneumonia. He was laying in a hospital bed before the big championship game, before the Super Bowl. And his coach came to see him and kind of said, Terry, we understand you're not going to be able to play Sunday, and we'll miss you. Now, I wish you could, but we understand, man. You're bad off. Terry Bradshaw looked at him and said, "What are you talking about?" He got up out of bed with double pneumonia, got to the field, and his team ended up winning the championship. Now, I'm not saying you have to come to church with double pneumonia. What I am saying is if they can do it for their things and their money and their fame, why can't we put everything we got into what we're doing for Jesus? It's all about the O. Listen, I don't think your pastor would ever want you coming with double pneumonia. But if any of you, any Kansans are like some of us Mississippians, I got some people, if they stub their little toe, that's an excuse not to worship God. Hey, folks, it's all about the O. It's all about the O. Move out of my way. I got to praise him. Because when I praise him, his blessing comes down. I'm not just going to patty cake. I'm going to put my heart into it. And let me say something. Let me say something for the elders. I've pastored some great elders. And I know they cannot run. They cannot do physically. They're unable to. But I remember the oldest man in our church. He's dead now. He's in his 90s. He's getting blind. He couldn't see. Was a little rough on his feet. But you know what I did see him do many a service? He'd get at the edge of that pew. He'd hold on with one hand. And he'd lift that long arm as high as he could get it. And he'd wave it. He was giving God the best he could do. Nobody's asking you to do what you can't do. But we all ought to put the O into our worship and into our praise. It's all about the O. It's all about giving it the best we have with all we have so the blessings of God will come. Oh, let's praise him one more time. Hallelujah. I'm telling somebody there's a key here. If you just push yourself and put your heart into it in every service, it'll be that little edge that takes you over the brink of blessing. It's all about the O. Oh, let's give him some praise. Let's give him some praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we magnify you. God, we exalt you. Hallelujah. Anybody need something from God? If you do, why don't you just praise him like he can do it and he may do it. As we praise him, it'll release his blessing. Hallelujah, we praise you, God. Hallelujah. What works in praise also works in prayer. It's all about the O in your prayer life. If you were to read Daniel 9:19, you would see that Daniel says, oh, Lord, not just Lord. Oh, Lord, hear. Oh, Lord, forgive. Oh, Lord, hearken and do. Then he says, defer not, oh, God. One verse, there's four O's in it. And is there any wonder? When this man prayed, angels fluttered down from heaven. Answers came. Revelations came. Angels would speak and tell him what things meant. Because when you put the O in it, something happens. When you're nonchalant about your prayer, you may not get it answered. But when you put some O in your prayer, things change. And in fact, in the New Testament, James 5, 16 through 18, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then he goes on and gives you the example of that. That is Elijah praying on Mount Carmel. And this is what it says. He prayed earnestly. Now, I think everybody knows the difference in being nonchalant and earnest. When you're at work and somebody's earnestly working, man, they're focused. They're doing their best. They're giving it all they have. And Elijah's the example. And he prayed earnestly. But my point here is this. You can pray an effectual prayer, that is, after the will of God, in the name of Jesus, by faith, according to the word of God. A good prayer. But you have no promise that God's going to answer it until you put fervency with it. The promise is the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So listen, you can pray the right prayer. You can pray it with the right spirit and in faith. But if you don't add fervency to it, your prayer may never get answered. Now, that's not Brother Johnson's idea. This is God's idea. This is in your Bible and mine. Now, look, I've known some prayer warriors in my lifetime. My mother's a prayer warrior. Many times, even when I was a young man not living really like I should, I'd wake up in the middle of the night. I'd hear her in the living room. And she wasn't whispering, God, if you would, save Jimmy. No, that's not how she prayed. Oh, God, save my boy. God, don't let him be lost. Don't let him go to hell. Now, I'm not preaching anything here that I don't preach back home. But I got some dear saints, and I've preached this to them. I've pastored them for decades. You know how some of them pray? I've seen them in the prayer room. They mumble their prayer. God, my daughter, if you wouldn't mind saving her. And they just go on like it don't mean much. And I've never seen God bring that child to church in 27 years. But man, I've been in the prayer room when I've seen tears. And I've seen people calling out to God. The best services we have ever had in our church. And where people were inundated with the Spirit and the Holy Ghost fell and miracles and signs and wonders and all kinds of things happened did not happen when we had that polite little mumbling prayer. But when the prayer room got lit up and people got fervent, man, things began to break loose and people began to get the Holy Ghost and things began to happen. So let me explain this. Now, I'm not the world's greatest hunter, believe me. The last 5 shots I took at deer, I missed every last one. But I sure tried hard, okay? But I also do a little bow hunting. Now, I shoot a compound bow or a crossbow, and they're very high velocity, and they're good things. But they also make recurves and bows that are more natural bows, like the old Indians had. And let's say you're deer hunting with one of those recurves or just a regular long bow. And there's a deer 25 yards out or 30 yards out. And you put the bow on him. You got the right aim. And you got the right razor arrow put up there in your bow. And you pull it back about 3 inches. You let it go. It's going to go about 6, 7, 8 feet and drop. And the deer is going to scamper off. And you're like, man, I had the aim right. You did. You had the right equipment. You had the right aim. What you didn't have was the right energy. But you pull that bow all the way and you put the full energy behind that arrow, when you let it go, it hits the target and goes through it. That's how it is in prayer. You can pray the right thing. You can say the right thing. You can have the right aim for the right person. But it's all about the O, the fervency, the burden. God, I need you to save. I need you to work. I need you to move. Anybody identify with what I'm saying? I can tell you I'm preaching the truth. You know how I know? I've experienced it. When I get in the Spirit and I pray with all my heart, I have a breakthrough. I have a move of God. I'm not saying there's not time for those other kind of prayers. Sometimes you can't lay on the floor and scream. And God understands that. But what I'm talking about is when you desperately desire something. And I'm preaching to you. It's all about the. So you know what I feel? Some of you have been praying the right things. You've been praying for the right people. You've been saying the right things. But God sent me here to tell you there's only one thing. You got to dial it up. You got to put more energy in that prayer. Fervent means red hot, boiling hot. I mean, you got to put some heat in that prayer. Don't say, well, if it happens, great or not. No, God, I got to have it. And you put that urgency in there. That makes all the difference. It's all about the O. I challenge you, if you want something to move, the next week, pray with fervency about it. See what happens. See what happens. Put it to the test. In fact, why don't we lift our hands right now and let's just ask God to help us. God, help me to pray with more fervency. Help us all to pray with more fervency. God, take us to a new level of power and blessing and answered prayer. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Let me tell you a story about what happened to me in my church. I'd been pastor for about 3 months, and I was just doing the prayer request one Sunday morning, and man, Brother Worth can identify, Brother Cowan can identify, man, something just got on me. And I began to challenge the church, and I said, no one's gotten the Holy Ghost since I've been here yet. I said, I want everybody to come early for prayer tonight. And I said, I want us to cry out to God for revival. That's why we're here. And I challenged them. Well, I really didn't know what to expect that night. But I'm going to tell you, Brother Cowan, it was the most beautiful thing. When I got out of my car and I got there in time for prayer, way in advance, when I opened the door, we had a men's prayer room then and a women's prayer room. When I opened the door to my hall where my office was and the men's prayer room was to the right, when I opened that door, I could hear a roar of Holy Ghost-filled men crying out to God. I mean, they had gotten into the Holy Ghost. The room was full of men crying out to God, crying, praying. The Holy Ghost fell in that place. Man, I didn't want to stop it. Church time was rolling around. I told the men, let's go check on the ladies. We went to the ladies' prayer room. They were kind of having the same thing. It broke loose. Before we even all got in the sanctuary, three people received the Holy Ghost. Three men that I ended up burying in the last 20 years that lived for God till they died. Praise God. Something broke loose. Yes, Lord. But you know why it broke loose? A church said, man, we got to have revival. We're tired of this now. Come on. We got to pray a little bit. We got to put the O in this prayer. And man, when there was a passion in prayer, something began to break. And I guarantee you, Pastor Elder Worth could tell you, and Brother Cowan, probably the best services you've ever had in this assembly have been ones power-packed with prayer. Hey, let's just not let it die. Let's remember it's all about the O. When I pray, it's all about the O. I'm going to put my passion in it. Anybody need a prayer answered? Why don't you lift your hands right now? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see every child of God. You know every need, God. We're crying to you. We're praying to you. We've got the O in it, Lord. We're fervently asking you for revival, for your anointing, for your blessing. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, it's all about the O. It's all about the O. I got to put the passion back in it. I got to put the strong desire back in it. I got to put my emotions back in it. I got to put my heart back in it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I got a couple more points, but I'm not going to finish tonight. I want to ask this entire church, make your way up to this front. Hallelujah. God wants to answer somebody's prayers. God wants to change somebody's family. God wants to work in somebody's life. He's looking for the O. He's looking for the king that'll beat the arrows 5 or 6 times. Not just 3 times. Put a little extra in it. Put a little umph in it. It's all about the O. Oh, let's reach for God. It's all about the O. I'm bringing my passion to God. I'm bringing my zeal and energy to God. I'm going to pray fervently. Oh, if you need the Holy Ghost, it'd be a good time to ask God for it. If you need a renewing, it'd be a good time to ask God for it. If you need a blessing, it'd be a good time to ask God for it.